Welcome, lovelies, to another episode of Steady She Grows. Today I am interviewing Tracy Lamori, high-profile, internationally award-winning publicist and the founder and managing director of Lamour Media. This is a great interview. Tracy has a whole lot to say and stuff that I don't see us thinking about or talking about in the general small business online entrepreneurship world. We're talking about some more kind of traditional media publishing and like how to get into it. And hint, it's not as hard as you think. So give it a listen. There's some great tips in here on things you could be doing to get yourself seen and heard and new and different places and maybe even in some international spaces. Ooh, actually, real quick before we get started, if you find yourself feeling stuck, stalled, stymied, not making progress in your business, and you need somebody to help pull you out of the mud, go to caseyjordan.com/powerhour. Check out my power hour sessions. It's you and me, just like it sounds like, 1 hour. We are going to power through, figure out what's working, what's not working, and I'm going to help you craft a literal plan of action to get you moving forward again on whatever it is that has you stalled. So go check it out. Book yours today. caseyjordan.com/powerhour. Okay, roll that intro reel. Welcome to Steady She Grows. I'm Casey Jordan, and this is the podcast that is dedicated to giving you an honest look at the realities of being a solo entrepreneur. My guess is that you want to grow a sustainable and feel-good business without burnout and overwhelm. I have a passion for creating clarity out of the chaos that is building a business without a giant budget, without a team of people to manage, and in the hours you choose to work. We're talking about the realities of what it takes to be a solopreneur, both logistically and emotionally. And now to today's episode. Welcome to the show today. I have Tracy Lamori of Lamori Media. I think this is going to be a great chat. Welcome, Tracy.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
So let's start present day. Tell us a little bit about what you do and how you make money nowadays.
So yeah, I'm a quote unquote international award-winning publicist working across industries. But basically my job is to elevate and celebrate the amazing things other people do. And so I work with, you know, authors and celebrities and filmmakers and all that stuff that people expect when they hear publicist. But I also work with entrepreneurs, with solopreneurs, with activists, with advocates, you know, of all kinds. So any either messaging that I think is important in the world, or, you know, people that I like and that are doing good things in their communities, even if it's just getting away from the corporate life and building their own little thing, you know, as long as it's something or somebody that I can get behind, that's what I like to elevate. And I elevate it on a global level the way I've been able to elevate my own brand, basically.
That's awesome. So do you do a mix of like actually kind of doing the publicity work for the person and or like teaching them how to go out and do that stuff for themselves?
It's gone. So originally I was just being a publicist and doing the PR work. And then my book is, you know, sort of getting half and half, getting people, because what I find is entrepreneurs, when you go to the corporate level, everybody has a communications department, which is a PR department. But entrepreneurs, not only do they not have that, but they also don't even have a concept of it or even how they can utilize it or how they can be in the media. They know advertising, but they don't know that. So even, if, you know, whether they're going to hire me or whether they want to do some steps on their own, I have pivoted. I mean, I'm still doing the PR work for sure. I love it and I won't stop that. But I've also pivoted to, my book is called Get Repped, Build Your Brand with Effective Public and Media Relations. And it talks about why, when you should have a publicist and why, and what things you can do on your own. And if you're, but if you are going to, some cautions and how you do it and some tips and tricks and all that. And so I've pivoted that during COVID, not even pivoted, during COVID, while looking for speaking opportunities and podcast opportunities for my clients, I saw a lot of, you know, podcast speaking to entrepreneurs. And I thought, well, maybe I could go in and educate some of them because I just know that this is the way, they just don't have that concept. And it's been fun. So I've been doing them, you know, all around the world. So I'm thinking that on the other end of COVID too, I'll probably have at least 30% of my day, you know, or my calendar doing speaking engagements, educating them, whether it's about doing it themselves, which I'm fine with, or just the concept, the difference between editorial and advertorial and why they should be thinking about it and how to make themselves, you know, thought leaders. I hate that phrase kind of, but that's a bit, you know, when I say it, you know what I mean, though, the people that get quoted, the one, you know, how do you, an amazing person doing their work, how do they get to that point? How do they do that? There's actually steps. And if you're not doing it, not even steps, it's just a whole bunch of ways to do it. And if you aren't doing it, then other people in your field are. They're elevating themselves while you're looking like you're less than, when really you're not. You may be far better than them that were in your work. So.
Exactly. Yeah, that's awesome. I think you're right. There's such a, in the entrepreneurship world, we focus so much on social media and like webinars. Like, that's how you build your business. But I've done a lot of advocacy for veterans of PTSD and brain injuries, because I am and have both. And like,
Amazing
on
work.
the advocacy side, like a lot of traditional news, traditional print media, like all that kind of stuff. Like, so I bring that into my entrepreneurship, and people don't even like remember that all of that material is still out there, and it's all still viable space to be showing up and getting attention in.
And you would be amazed how many, everyone, not everyone, but you hear about the press release of the media advisory, which is where you're telling your story. And, but even if you can't think of something like that, that you can't, there's a, that's only half of the world of what I do. The other half is, the services like the ones where we met, podcast services that match up high profile guests or even just expert guests with podcasts that'll interview them. And in the same ways as that, there's services where mainstream media who are under deadline, and the free services that entrepreneurs can use, like Caro, Help a Reporter Out, the Source Bottle in Australia. But I always say, before you go to those, before you, it's key to understand, again, the difference between advertorial and editorial, what they're looking for, how to pitch yourself, because you can take those resources that I use successfully all the time. I got just one client, and it's not because I'm a publicist and sending them good stuff. I know how to do it. I got one client in 1 week in the New York Times and Reader's Digest with those 1 week. And I got another client who'd never had any media before in Good Housekeeping magazine. I talk about mental illness and health. Boom, print issue. And then boom, for the next year and a half, she's been in like, I can't say how many more things, just riding on that,
Yeah.
And so she. That's how it works. And so those opportunities are available, and they're there, but entrepreneurs aren't looking for them. So I always say, if you have money, more money than time, if you have a marketing budget, whatever, take a little bit out of it and put some in PR, even if it's for a month. Come to me, because I'll give you that, entrepreneur deal, and we'll go with this 3 month minimum, blah, 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 that you'll get most places. Because I understand it's hard for entrepreneurs, even when they're doing well, to put behind something that they don't understand. Stand really, right? But you
Right.
come to me for a month, you see, you get your, and I'm not trying to be advertorial here, but I'm just trying to explain, because they have to really get their heads around. And if you understand it yourself, like if you understand what I say, me when I say pitch, and what I, and all that stuff, if it makes sense to you, there's nothing stopping you from, taking your bio and putting it together into a pitch, because your pitch isn't your bio. It's, a short, it certainly has the important things why you're an expert, but it's also what makes you a compelling guest. And, if you don't have anything to show that yet, if you're a writer or if you're able to write an article on Medium. People think Medium is like the Huffington Post. Not everyone realizes it because it looks great. You write an article, it looks like a, but anybody can go to Medium and write an article. So if you don't have any other media and you're scared to, but you know how to write, go and write a couple things about your industry. Go and talk about whatever your experience. So there's, you could be talking about your experience. You could be like, you, why are you in that industry? Stream, what have you learned? You could be talking about the kind of thing we would do in a topical press release, which is something is going on in the news. We'll take an obvious example of an ongoing story like COVID or Black Lives Matter or something where they're going to be, they're talking about it now. They'll be talking about it tomorrow. So, and if you have an expert opinion or just a unique opinion based on, I wrote a book about this or based on, like if you have some, not even wrote a book, it could just be, I have a job, my work. Because of my work, I have this perspective. I work at a hotel, and this is what I think about Black Lives Matter based on my personal experience, or about COVID or whatever. Those things are, we don't all have that experience. So those are things where you can, insert yourself into something that's topical and appropriate, hopefully, but I mean, where you actually have something to add to the conversation is the idea. You always should be thinking about giving media content, and not, you're not looking for free ad time.
Exactly. It's that sharing of value thing. And like you said, being so topical, this is one I catch myself with on the web, on the podcast, is I don't want to book show episodes too far in advance, because the pandemic hit and all of our
Oh, good
topic and all of
point.
our focus shifts. So, like, you're one of the last episodes in this current batch that I have. This episode will air in March, but we're filming it. We're recording it February 2nd. So there's about a month lag there. And I'm like, that's about as far as I want to go because a lot can happen in the world in a month.
Good point. Yeah,
So making.
like if we were recording this in January of
Yep.
last year, and then all of a
Exactly.
sudden people are listening, they're like, oh wow, those guys only knew that, in a minute, right?
Right, exactly.
I'm reading, I'm slow on my reading. I've got like piles of stuff to read. Sometimes I'm reading the brand new New Yorker, and sometimes I'm reading like the National Post Canadian magazine or some newspaper from like, a year ago, and you're a year ago and you're like, oh my God.
Oh, exactly. So I want to jump back for a second. You've used both these terms a couple of times, so I would love to touch on them so everyone's on the same page. Advertorial versus editorial. The quick rundown on the difference.
So advertorial is what you're normally thinking of. A business person is thinking of all the time. My product is better than the competition. This is the point of my product. These things are never ever going to get you in the news. So think about when you watch the news. Think about what, to get yourself in the headspace of an editor, what they're going to see. Think about what you see in the news. And when you're considering giving them a story, would you ever see that kind of thing in the news? If not, where would where would you see that? Where would you expect to see that story? Would you expect to see it in the news, i.e., the front page of the newspaper? If not, don't reach out to the news, no, don't reach out to the TV news about it, unless it's your local community TV or whatever. But it may be in, you may expect to see it in the front page, but maybe on page A13 or page 14, where they talk more general stuff, lifestyle, not hot news. But then you want to go reach out to, so you want to target who writes with that kind of thing. If you have a, that sort of thing. You want to really target your message and make sure you know where, how to send it. So that's part of the editorial, is giving them good content, like you said. So you should, they're happy, their businesses too. And they know how, and especially when it comes to business, there is a limited real estate in the newspaper. I've talked to editors of some of the top financial press, and they say, listen, I love your story. They spend 15 minutes with me talking it over because they respect me. But they're like, I love this story, and you're right, Tracy, it has everything. But this is what you got to understand. I myself, the editor, I have 13 stories that I really want to place, but I haven't had time to even place them yet because we have 2.5 spaces in here, and a half of it is for advertisers. That's
Right.
so, so you really have to target. And if it's not a hard business story, don't go to business. But it doesn't mean there's no way to get in. Because again, that's where we go to. The profile could be, it could be a profile about you. And if you can't get in, PBS or NBC or CNN immediately, well, then you go to Authority Magazine or Thrive Global, or and you start building, whether it's writing for them or doing those things like Caro and Source Bottle that I talked about, where you find opportunities to be quoted. I got one client, like I said, those ones, Oprah.com, The List, like major media. And that's, and again, not because of publicists, because they didn't know me. It's that pitch. It's got to be, because they're getting a whole bunch of them, but it's got to be answering exactly what they want, doing it quickly, showing that you give good quote, that you understand the difference between editorial and advertorial, because then you're the news department. So basically, in a nutshell, advertorial, when you send them something that you know what's going to be printed, you're giving them the colors, like you said, the words, that's an ad. Everyone reads it as an ad. If you have enough money, you can pay for it. They'll print whatever within the bounds of the law, right? But editorial, you can't pay for that. You pay the publicist for our strategies and our writing to convince them that you should be the one in there, but you cannot pay to get in quoted on CNN, on NBC, on the, that does not happen. So that's a credibility that you can't, literally cannot buy. So that, is gold when you're talking about elevating yourself over your competitor or attracting customers or whatever it is.
I have a friend who has become brilliant. She has gotten herself on like local media, but Richmond, Virginia is pretty big when you're talking local business strategist. But she comes on, they ask her to come on to talk about like, how do you start to pivot your business now that COVID has hit? She did a whole piece with them on the morning news about like work from home tips for, because she's worked from home for a
There you
decade,
go,
but
exactly.
everybody who has like, she never talked about her business. She's only talking about like a relevant news topic.
And
Exactly.
then
like she gets a little bio line at the bottom of the screen or whatever. And she's now become like the first person they call.
You got it.
They
If
want
I was
her.
working with you, I'd be pitching you the same way. I'd be like, Casey speaks on a, Casey has her finger on the tips of entrepreneurs across America because she daily speaks to entrepreneurs across, about different industries. So she can go on and speak about how COVID has affected entrepreneurs, how, like, exactly like that. And so you don't even have to have a book or whatever. Your expertise is the podcast. Your expertise is your career. You just have to tell them about it. Like I always say to people, and people don't picture themselves in the media. They think that's other people, and I'm just. I always say there's no just. The only difference between
Yes.
them and you is literally someone told them about the work they're doing.
Yes. Like getting in the media is one hand really hard, one hand really easy. I've been in a stack of newspaper articles. Like it's not a hard thing if you have the right thing to say. It's just showing up, putting your foot out there, being willing to put yourself out there. The first time I ever got picked up for like a live interview kind of scared the crap out of me, but I was like, okay, here we go. And it turned out great, got me some good publicity, great time, and on to the next thing, So I know you've been doing this for a while, but one of the things I really like looking at in this show is, can you go back and explore with us a little bit? How did you get into being a publicist and making the decision to like create your own company versus, I'm sure there's many, many a company you could have worked for.
I never even considered that. I never even considered being a publicist either. I literally just fell into it. So I was an activist and an advocate at heart. And my husband, Dave Parkinson, and I, we had a radio show when we first met in our early 20s. Actually, he had the show and he brought me onto it. And it was, anti-racist stuff and advocacy stuff and all the stuff that we, we're going to do when we're going to change the world, which we still are changing the world. And somehow in that work, and then the radio show didn't exist anymore. The internet, I'm dating myself, but the internet started. And we heard about this case just because he paid for a little ad, where prisoners could try to get pen pals. We weren't looking for that. We were doing some anti-racism or anti-whatever police abuse stuff. Somehow, the internet. We fell down the rabbit hole and found this little thing. And he was saying, I'm not looking for a pen pal. I'm certainly not looking for a girlfriend. I'm innocent on death row. I need help. His name was Jimmy Dennis in Pennsylvania. To this day, I don't know. Like I always say, I don't know what made my husband and myself not just send an email, but literally write a letter, fold up the letter, put it in an envelope, mail it to death row.
Yeah.
How innocent can this guy be? And he sent back 18 pages on both sides, legal information. And that started us on a journey where we were like, wow, this is clearly. Even just what he sent there, this is way not right. Started us on a journey. We started the Justice for Jimmy Dennis campaign, started making a bunch of noise 2 years in. So it was 98, 99, 98, 99, 1998 to 2001. And then a law firm out of Washington, D.C., which was like unicorns, actually looking for a case of actual factual innocence, heard enough noise and they ended up finding him. From there, it was their work, for 15 years. But we were a support team doing media when they would allow us, And he was ultimately released in 2017. So please look him up. Jimmy Dennis had a new song called Tears This Year and a song about racism called Hate the Skin I'm In and some just a couple love songs called Oh, You Went and Did It and You Said that are amazing. He's talking on my Facebook right now and I'm ignoring him to do this, right? And we talk all the time. And was actually in Philadelphia Magazine, the whole story this week, a big epic story and recently in Rolling Stone. But so that's how I learned how to write a press release. And literally, so we were just in sales and, entry level, whatever, in our day job. But at night, we'd come home and do this advocacy and learn to write press release and send it all over the world. And, ultimately, we started working on the general death penalty in America beyond that case of innocence because we were just exposed to what a nightmare it really is. We always say support for the death penalty is a mile wide and an inch deep because good people support it. But once you look into it, oh, I don't support that. I don't support that. There's a lot there, guys. That's all I'm going to say. So we ended up speaking out, about it. Again, no media, experience other than that little radio show and no PR experience. But as a result of the press release I learned to write on Alta Vista, we got on CNN, MSNBC, Court TV, Der Spiegel, People Magazine, National Enquirer, like crazy. So couple of years before Jimmy was released, when it was starting to look like he was going to be released, meanwhile, we're still doing our other jobs. These are nothing to do with our work. It suddenly hit me, wait a minute, I've developed marketable skills. This is a thing that people actually pay for and pay a lot more than the 15 bucks an hour I was doing at the time. So from there, I literally said, okay, I'm a publicist now. And I'm not kidding. I literally did that day because of the power of the internet, which we're all in front of now. I was able to go to and started with things like Elance, which I think is called Upwork now. I haven't used that in years. I'm still on it, but and I got a bunch of clients from there. I started, you know, I would bid low and do amazing work, and I got actually some high profile clients from there, including Rosa Parks' cousin, who's still with me today, right? For
Awesome.
filmmaker Angela Sadler Williamson. So yeah, so and then in 2012, I was a freelancer. By 2015, we started, me and my husband, a general partnership. 2017, Jimmy was released from death row. And we just, me and Dave, my husband, just incorporated during COVID. We actually scaled up, and it's going really well. So yeah, that's the story of how, you know, I never would have thought I could become a publicist, and never would have been on my radar, and I didn't go to school for it. And it includes all, when it's not COVID, all those VIP parties and travel. That's literally a huge part of it. And I fell into it because I tried to help a guy on death row because I was a crazy kid in my 20s thinking we can make a difference. So
And that's
do that.
who that's it right there. Like that's such an amazing story and such a valuable lesson. And like I keep having a debate with some of my friends about like a friend of mine's debating if she continues in her job field because that's what she has a master's degree in. I'm like, but if you don't like it, like I'm looking at my master's degree right now, and I worked in that field for like a real year and a half before I realized that wasn't the field to be in. Like, if you've got a thing you're good at that lights your fire, look at
Do
how,
it.
like, it do it. It's marketable now with the internet. Ta-da,
Exactly. That's what I'm
I'm a
saying.
host.
Yourself is right in front of you. And then once you prove yourself, then the way to, you know, then you can tell the world about it. Like, that's literally my journey. I didn't have a clue. I've not only did I not go to school for PR, and I literally am now, I'm an international award-winning publicist, speaking all over the world, teaching people how to do it, teaching other publicists how to do it. Not only did I not go to school for PR, I don't have any higher education beyond award, you know, beyond grade 12, award, whatever, A's in grade 12, and then real life hit. Nobody paid for me to go to university, so I didn't go. Instead, I went to Europe for 6 months, and then I came back and I got married, and I was an activist. I mean, you know, backpacking, working entry-level jobs, and you know, until I suddenly realized at age 40. I mean, so if I could have, I got these skills at 20, 28, 29, 30. By 30, we've been all across the media. But it wasn't another 10 years until I thought, hey, wait a minute. Hold on there. So it wasn't like it was a plan or a trajectory, or even that I built on that media. I never even built on that media to build this media, because there was a decade between any press release I did for, because the lawyers weren't having us do out media, you know, for that. So I didn't build up. I had a few celebrity connections, like who were involved in that work, but it's like I started from twice. So if you, I had, it's really, this is how good I am at PR, and I have to give myself a pat on the back before I even knew what PR was, because I built an international profile on the death penalty and human rights to the point where we were quoted in 18 print books, 18 print books. And when you know, and when you searched online, there was 5,000 hits, and we were in literally news articles quoted around the world, again with no legal education, you know, just like, but then we were there. So that's a huge media profile. And then we pretty much were quiet on that, things that we had our kids, we were like, it couldn't be that, you know, three hours a night on that anymore. So a lot of that faded. We were still asked to do quotes, but we weren't like 4 hours intense, you know what I mean? So some of that quieted down. And then it was another decade before I thought of that. And then since, you know, 2015, say, I built another, and especially in the last 2 years, another, a completely separate international profile at the top of my field in PR. So it's great. So now there's another 8,000 like hits on Google all about PR. And if you look 2 years ago, it was like internet. And I'm hoping that human rights thing never drops off, because a few years ago it just said human rights defender and then all my death penalty work. And then now I've been doing so much media on the PR thing, it says human rights defender and you got the PR thing beside it, right? But I don't want to lose that human rights defender, because that's why I got here.
Yeah, that's awesome. Do you still do much in the way of advocacy work, or is it at this point like,
No, I
I mean,
still do. Yeah. And in, yeah, and some of it's fun, oddly, some of it ends up merging my work, because people in all my world see how turbocharged good I am at this stuff now. Not to brag, but like it's getting crazy, right? Where like I'm everywhere every day. So like they all ask me, you know, like even so people from the death penalty work that knew me 20 years ago as an advocate have asked me, hey, can you come and do a project like a lawyer? And I'm like, well, I'm not, I can't, I know, I can't charge for that work, you know? So in some cases, or but some of them have hired me for other work, like other work, like some of those people have hired me to do other things, like on their own profile, or like a lawyer there having me, you know, but not the death penalty. So that stuff I still do forever, you know, and also other advocacy work. I was hugely involved as much as, you know, as I'm educated to be, as much as I can be as an ally, you know, in these important times, which I think is the most important civil rights movements of our time since the days of Rosa Parks, you know, Black Lives Matter and all of that. So that's always going to be, if I had to choose, if I couldn't do my work, if someone said you cannot be an advocate anymore, you're, you know, because your business will suffer from it, number one, whatever, good luck with, you know, that's my business was built on that. But if for some reason I actually had to choose, there's no way I would choose any kind of business, as much as I love it, whatever, over speaking out, because it's about speaking out.
That's awesome. And you kind of touched on this. So you, when you first started out as a publicist, you were saying you were kind of on Upworks or Elance at the time. So you're starting small, taking relative pay, but then delivering killer work. Like, I assume now at this point, and you kind of, I think you just kind of said this, like, are you pretty much all referral based to get to work with you now?
Literally 80 to 90. I mean, people can message me and say, I saw you on a podcast. I'm not like, no, I won't. But I mean, in terms of where my work comes from, 80 to 90% is repeat business and referral based. 80 to 90%. And the rest, I've never placed an ad in my life, not once. And the rest is literally, you know, people see me on socials. They see the successes and they'll just reach out. So it's sort of referral, my own, you know, they'll see, oh, I see what you're doing there. You tell me what you do. Can we have a conversation? So yeah, so I'm, you know, I'm embarrassed and proud both to say that on a financial basis, you know, like I've actually done better this last 6 months. First few months of COVID, I was like, oh my God, I lost 80% of my business because it was all entertainment and I was supposed to go and do this there and speak there and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh my God, just watching the idiots on TV, like the Trumps and the whatevers, and also our own, you know, Trudeau and every single politician everywhere, just like this, not knowing what to believe or what's going on or what. Well, I know who to believe, but I mean, like, you know, in terms of shock, right? Something new. And then I realized, don't know, you know what? If I've lost 80% of my work, I still have 20%. Stop watching these idiots, go to the other screen, start doing your work. And then things developed and new things came up and new things to be promoted. And I started talking to authors and, you know, so then boom, it's been busier than ever in December. And my January has literally been the best I've ever had. And that's a result of, it's crazy, right? It's a result of, and that's why my prices are way lower than most publicists, not because they have to be, but because I come from, my business manager hates it, but because I still come from that, you know, advocacy where I don't want to lock out all the entrepreneurs and all these people who wouldn't be able to, like we said, throw 10,000 bucks on a dime on something they never thought of before.
Exactly. And this is just a perfect lesson for my audience in like paying attention to your audience. You saw, oh, I still have 20% of my business. Let's go see what they need help with. How do I do what they need? And as you saw things come in, like now you're teaching more, a little bit more DIY publicity stuff because you're seeing the need for it. Like every story you've told, there's that, like start here, keep your eyes open as you go, and the opportunities show up.
Absolutely. And then they pile on top of each other and until you don't recognize. I mean, my clients are like, oh my God, you made me sound so good. I'm like, those are your accomplishments. And then they're shocked when there's a profile about them, they want to be interviewed. It's like, yeah, exactly. I saw that. Like, I don't take anybody's money unless I know I can get you media. And I don't care who you are, I can get you media. You know, I haven't met a person yet because everybody has a story. And whether you know, and also your job's a story. It all depends what your goal is. You know, if you're, like I said, I took that 26-year-old who'd never been in anything, who just wanted to speak about mental health, and she got her in Good Housekeeping the next day because I was looking for those opportunities. Partly luck, partly research, partly convincing, partly, you know, but those opportunities are there. And I said on a podcast, it's like, you know, that old Lucy show or whatever with the assembly line going in front of them. It's like, hey, and like the New York Times is going by and Reader's Digest and all, like, do you want a quote? Do you want, no, I'm busy. And people are also intimidated or they're scared or, but there's nothing to be scared about because, you know, you don't have to be in front of a television camera to start. You could be by email answering questions to a reporter, getting your name in there, boom. And then you start to build your confidence. You like the way, and you know, you, when you share that article, all of a sudden you see you're existing clients start sharing it because they're excited and they're proud. Hey, this is my accountant. This is my real estate agent. Look at that. It brings business. You put that up on your website, even if it's, you know, you live in Virginia and this is an article in, you know, Ireland, and that might not be your audience. It doesn't matter. Now, number one, you're internationally quoted. Number two, you put that on your website, and when someone's going to look at you as a service provider or somebody else, and there you are quoted in Ireland, and there's a article about you here. Well, human nature, you know, and it's easy to get those. You just have to tell them what you're doing.
Yep, exactly. So credential building. And really the worst case, I've sent out a lot of pitches in my life is they say no. And you take that story somewhere else or you revamp it and
Exactly.
submit it again. Like
Or you make a
I
hog out of there. I switch to clients all the time. You spend 5 minutes answering a hair, or they don't answer. Great. Now you got a great idea for a blog or later. You know,
Exactly.
now you're not going to steal their idea, but I mean, now you're thinking, oh, gee, that's interesting in terms of that area. You know, I never thought about COVID and dogs, you know, huh? And then over the next month, you might think about, I'm just again making up whatever comes in my head. But I mean, you know.
Yeah, exactly. But it is like that. I've done that where I actually sent just not long ago a giant long article that was supposed to be a guest post on somebody else's content. I don't know if it's ever posted. They've kind of ghosted me. So I'm reworking that content. I'm not going to release what I gave them to release,
Yep,
but
in
all of the
case they come
thoughts,
up.
exactly, but the thoughts are
Yeah.
still mine. So now I'm using all that education and research I did and reformatting it and making myself some great content out of it.
Exactly.
So,
Nothing's wasted. Or you talk about it in podcast and you have that little clip and yeah. Yeah.
exactly. This has been great, Tracy. Give me one piece of advice that you wish you had known sooner in kind of this whole journey of yours.
For sure. 100%. I wish I'd thought of not monetizing ever what I was doing, obviously, with Jimmy and that death row work. Never, 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 right? But I wish I'd realized earlier in my journey, like when I was 30 instead of when I was 42, that, you know, the skills, and everyone can take from this because you don't all have a death row story, I bet, but y'all have something you love. You all have a passion. And you know what? Honestly, you don't realize the skills that you have that could be, even if you're like, you love sports, I know nothing about, maybe you can't be a player. But you know, there's a million jobs around that, 100 jobs around that, that you might love, where you love going to work every day, where you use that skill, that knowledge you have, blah, blah, blah. So like, I was thinking about this the other day. We're locked into a lot of us, just what, you know, why do you work at the donut shop? Why are you a teacher even? Why are you a professor? Why are you a doctor? We all took our whatever path for whatever reason, but there's a million other paths we might have taken too, right? So it's interesting to think about where you are, and you don't necessarily have to be there. If you're happy with where you are, awesome. But if you're not locked where you are.
Yes, I love that. I love that so much. Thank you. Tell us real quick where the best place is to find you online.
So Instagram first, because then you can see all my client successes daily and everything up to the minute, which is like boom, 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 you can keep up, is Tracy Lamori PR Media. If you spell my name right, then they'll catch me. Or lamorimedia.com on the dot com. On Facebook, I'm just Tracy Lamori. Where else can you find me? Oh, if you want to use that old technology, the telephone, to text me for a conference is 289-788-5881 in Canada, or my Beverly Hills phone number, which will really just forward to my number in Canada, which, but it's 424, but it sounds good, right? And PR. Beverly Hills 42. I'm also honest and genuine though. This is my downfall. 424-444-8052. That'll save you the long distance, or Toronto 289-788-5881.
Awesome. I will make sure all of that is in the show notes. This has been such a delight. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and please friend me on all the socials.
Thanks for tuning in for another week of Steady She Grows. If you like what you're hearing, be sure to screenshot the show and give a share over on Instagram. Tag me at Casey.Jordan and share your key takeaways. You can also rate and review the show on Apple Podcast or wherever you give it a listen. And until next week, my friends, keep on crushing it.